And I'm turning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, and I want us to look at these verses 26 to 38 here this morning. I'll just give you those references in case you wonder where I'm going to finish this morning. But verses 26 to 38 of Luke chapter 1, what we have here in verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favoured, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Well, you may know, friends, that the word angel, as we have it in the Bible, is the word messenger. This was a messenger. Well, it's quite obvious, isn't it, that God sent this angel, this messenger, to give a message to Mary, especially on this occasion. And of course, this is what we call revelation. Here is God speaking, God revealing something to mankind, in this case, Mary. Well, revelation is so important. It's so important because without revelation, we would know really next to nothing that is useful for knowing about God or even ourselves. We live in a world where we have philosophy and we can think, we have rational minds and we work things out for ourselves. But the revelation, the Bible, the revelation of God is a revelation that tells us things we could never work out for ourselves. It tells us things that we might guess at, we might even be right, but we would never know whether we were right about God, about what he has done, about what God will do, and about his character, and what he requires of us. And we would not really know about sin. We might have an inkling that we're not right, that things are spoiled in this world, but we wouldn't have an idea of the origin of sin and what God thinks of sin and how he will deal with sinners. And we would know nothing of heaven and hell, except we had a revelation, except God speak into this world and tell us these things. Well, of course, that's why we're so glad of our Bibles. And though there are other religions that speak of their holy scriptures and say they are revelations from God, well, friends, any real comparison with those other scriptures show that the Bible is the real revelation, that there's nothing to be compared with this word of God, this Bible that we have. And I want us to think a little while here this morning concerning the words that we have here of the Nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we have here, amongst many other great things, a great example of revelation, what it's for, how it's so good for our souls to believe in and to trust in the word that God has spoken. So we look at that here this morning, realizing that without a Bible, all the philosophies of this world, they have a great gap, or they come up against a brick wall. They might work out many fine things and many things that are evident to us who live in this world, but they get to the point where they can go no further. Well, we need, we must have, it's essential, the great necessity of a revelation from God. God speaking into this world, as he has done through the prophets of old in different ways. Some of them had dreams. Some of them had God speak into their very minds, and they spoke that word of God. And then these things were written down. And then, of course, comes the Lord Jesus Christ, as we see here, the very Son of God. God himself entering into this world and telling us things that only God can tell us. And then those apostles of old that were given the word of God to write down by the Holy Spirit. And so we have this revelation, this Bible, this word of God that has been translated and kept and preserved for us down the centuries so that we can rely on this word of God. Well, here is a revelation. You see it there in verse 26. The angel, the messenger, Gabriel, sent from God. This is a word from God sent to a certain place where Mary is. We know of Mary, and he comes and brings her a very special message. He reveals to her something very wonderful and something that was so needful, needed to be known. So God is a God of revelation. God is not someone who has made this universe and made us and left us to it to work out things for ourselves. He has spoken Friends, when we stand before God on that great day of judgment, there will be no excuse to say, well, we never had enough information. As one great philosopher, Bertrand Russell, said, why he wasn't a Christian. He said, not enough information, not enough evidence. Well, friends, we have it all here. All that God has said and done, necessary for us to know him and to know his salvation. God is a God of revelation. He has sent his word into this world, and now we have it in our Bibles, and we can trust it and believe it. Well, here is a message from God through this messenger, through the angel Gabriel. Well, here in verse 27, we see that this message on this occasion was especially to Mary, the virgin, unmarried. We know of this from the scripture, and we believe her, that she was a chaste young woman who loved the Lord. And this was the one that the angel was sent to bring the revelation. Well, of course, this makes us understand that the revelation is for all sorts of people. It's for ordinary people. She was just a young maid. She was hoping to be married. She looked forward to a life in that village of Nazareth with Joseph, who seems to have been an older man that she was going to marry. And she seems to have been a believer. Well, not seems, it's obvious. It's obvious that she was someone that trusted in the Lord and in the salvation that he was going to bring through the promised Messiah, the Christ. And so she is an ordinary young woman in that village who was waiting for God to do a grand work. And God spoke to her. And we must understand that the revelation from God is for all people, as the angels sung to the shepherds on that later occasion. And so not just philosophers, those that think deeply, is the revelation given. Not just to the clever or the rich or even the ignorant, but to all people. And here, epitomised in this young lady, a nobody, from a poor family and background, and from someone who hadn't really even grown up in this world yet, and yet was old enough and mature enough to know so much of the Lord as to believe and trust in him. But here is a revelation for ordinary people, and this gives us great hope, and this gives us great encouragement that this revelation, this Bible, this gospel message is for all of us. There's no one excluded. God would speak to us all. He has spoken into this world in such a loud way. This thing wasn't done in a corner. It was done on the stage, as it were, of world's history, that we might know this Saviour for ourselves and believe the revelation, the message that God has sent to us. And here we see that it was an extraordinary revelation that came to this woman. It was to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, and of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he was about to tell her something spectacular, absolutely amazing, and fill her with wonder, and fills us with wonder. Of course, it fills many people with scepticism and cynicism. And they don't believe such a thing. But for us that have come to believe that this is a revelation from God, a message from God, then we understand it is spectacular. And of course, this fact is that she was a young woman, a virgin, who was going to bear that one that was going to be called the Son of the Highest. And he was going to be called the Son of God, for he was God. And here, friends, we understand something amazing, that this revelation to us is a message that also is something very spectacular, for it will mean that we can bear spiritual fruit, whereas we were empty. We had nothing about us that was spiritual, nothing that would please God. And yet, just as extraordinarily, she was going to bear the Saviour, we also can bear fruit. The fruit of repentance and of a Christian life that will please God if he should come and deal with us, if we believe this revelation that he has granted to us. We'll look here in verse 28. The angel came in unto her into the house and said, Hail, thou that art highly favoured, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Oh, friends, do you see what this is? He says that she was highly favoured. The word means grace. You see, the revelation is all about grace. It's all about the favour of God. In the song of the angels to the shepherds, it was goodwill towards men. Same thing. Favour. And that makes us see that this is undeserved. Mary didn't deserve to be highly honoured in this way. No sinner deserves to be saved and be made a child of God. No sinner deserves everlasting life. No sinner deserves to be highly favoured of God. But this is the message. This is the revelation. God is gracious. He will forgive us our sin. He will pardon us and grant to us everlasting life. Just as Mary here is highly favoured, well, then also with us, wretched sinners. The revelation of salvation shows to us that it is something of grace, of grace. Anyone that's saved, anyone that's converted, anyone that knows their sins have been forgiven and that they are on the high road to heaven, they know. They know from the revelation that they are highly favoured. It's all of grace. They never earned their salvation. They certainly never earned heaven. But the Lord Jesus Christ has purchased it by his death upon the cross. This is what this revelation is about. This Bible, this message from heaven, it's all about grace. Every book of the Bible tells us of grace, the high favour of God towards men and women who are sinners, enemies of God, that he should turn us around and make us his children and grant us everlasting life. This is a marvellous thing. But here in verse 29, but when she saw him, the angel, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind, wondered in her mind, what manner of salutation, message this should be. Oh, friends, what a marvellous book we have here before us. We can look at a few verses here and we can see ourselves straight away. When we hear this message for the first time, or it begins to dawn on us as sinners, we're troubled. It troubles us. Our sin troubles us. It troubles us that we should stand under the judgment of God. It troubles us that spiritual things are more important than the ordinary things of everyday life. It troubles us in so many ways. We want to be left alone. We don't want to come near to these things. They frighten us. They scare us if we begin to believe them. If we dare to begin to think that this is a Bible, a revelation about us and our sinful souls, and how God is angry with us, and that we're the enemies of God until we come and trust in him and seek his forgiveness. It is something that troubles us. Well, Herod was troubled in his day. And Jerusalem was troubled when they heard that the Messiah was coming. Why? Because they felt guilty. They felt guilty that they were living lives so far away from God. And we're troubled. We're troubled at the revelation when we hear the gospel. We're troubled at these things. We're agitated. We're not at ease with these things. Well, when we think of heaven and hell, when we think of our guilt and our sin and God's anger, well, when we think, we have the thought that it all might be true. What that preacher is saying, what he's bringing out of this word, the Bible, this revelation, it troubles us. Well, so it ought to. We need to believe these things and come to trust in it. We say to ourselves, what is this all about? Sometimes we might even say, why am I even listening? Or we might say, why would God speak to me? Why would God speak to me? Do I need this message? Am I a sinner? Am I someone under the wrath of God? Oh, we're troubled. We're troubled. Well, you see, revelation is all about grace. We see it again there in verse 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. Grace lessens our fear. When we begin to believe this message, when we begin to believe this good news, when we begin to see the truth of it all and how we might be saved, well, then this grace of God, it lessens our fears. It's as if God comes to us and fills us with great fear because of our guilt and because of our sin. And then it's almost immediate. He says, now don't fear. Don't fear, but believe me. Trust me. You can have your sins forgiven. You can know what it is to be a child of God. You can know what it is to come with me into my glorious heaven. You see, when the revelation has a large amount of God only wants to do us good, then our fears are relieved. This is what this message is all about. From the angel Gabriel, from God to Mary. This is what it's all about. It has everything to do with God is going to do you so much good. God's going to bless you. God's going to highly favour you. Friends, this is what we must see from the revelation that God has given us in the Bible, in the gospel. God only wants to do us good. He wants us to come and repent of our sin and leave that old life of sin behind that left God out of our lives to such a large extent. He wants us to come and to trust in him and to believe him and to yield our lives up completely to him. And then if we'll do that, God will only bless us and help us and answer our prayers and walk with us and dwell within us by his Holy Spirit to give us power to live for him and to his glory, and then take us to everlasting glory in the everlasting age. God only wants to do us good. And so he says to our hearts as we hear these things, though we may be greatly troubled by them, he wants to say, fear not, don't you know that I only want to do you good? Well, look here, verse 31. Here's the specific message and revelation for Mary. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, Saviour. That's what Jesus means, Saviour. Well, this revelation, as I said earlier, is spectacular. We cannot imagine, can we, what it would have been like for Mary to hear such a thing. Well, of course, we understand that Mary knew her Old Testament. Mary understood that the Messiah, the Saviour, the Anointed One, was going to come. She knew that that one would be born of a woman. And now she's told it's her. She's the one. She's the one that's going to bear the Saviour. And oh, this one is going to be the Lord God. And oh, he's going to be called Jesus. The Old Testament name was Joshua, the Deliverer, the Saviour of Israel, bringing them in to the Promised Land. This one would bring them into the spiritual Promised Land of heaven to come. And she would be the one that would bear the Saviour. Well, it is an amazing thing. Oh, this message for Mary was spectacular. Spectacular beyond words. She would bear the Saviour. She would be the one, the Virgin, that would bear the Saviour. Oh, everything about it was extraordinary. It was astounding. Absolutely amazing. Oh, friends, the revelation to us is just as astounding. It's amazing that we should have our sins forgiven, that all our wretched demerits, all our wretched guilt should be dealt with by our God, that all our uncleanness, all our wretched thinking, all our selfishness, all the hurtful things that we've done, that they should all be washed away, that they should all should be made clean, that we should be those that would be made right in God's sight and in his eyes. This is spectacular. This is amazing that wretched sinners like us could be highly favoured in such a way as that, and that he should do that for us, that he should give us eternal life, who live out our lives in such a almost puny and petty way in this life. We scrape together a living. We seek to have a few entertainments and enjoyments from time to time. We seek comfort and enjoyment, of course, in our families and in our children. Of course we do. But what are they? It'll all soon be gone. We'll all be in the grave in just a short while. And what will it all have meant? But here we're offered, in the revelation of God, everlasting life. Life with God. Life with the Saviour. And with all God's people down the ages. Oh, living in a spectacular new world that God will recreate, in which there will be no sin, in which will dwell only righteousness. Oh, friends, this is spectacular beyond thinking. We have in the scriptures that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, what God has prepared for those that love him. Oh, friends, just as we see in a different sort of way, this was a spectacular revelation to Mary on this occasion. So, friends, it is a spectacular revelation to us that we can be forgiven. We can be made children of the living God. That we can be made kings and priests unto God in his kingdom. And we can dwell with God forevermore, having the power of our sin dealt with here, so that even our sinful habits can be taken away, so we can live for his glory. And then when we enter into that glory, to be made absolutely sinless, perfect in his sight. Oh, friends, this is wonderful. This is an amazing revelation that God has made. Oh, friends, we see it here with Mary. But to think, here is Mary understanding something of God going to work in her in a spectacular way. Well, it's spectacular, amazing how God works in the heart of a sinner and draws such a one to himself, awakening them from their sin, making them aware of their guilt before God, and then granting them faith and trust and granting them repentance so that they turn away from that sin, and then they're born again of the Spirit of God. Oh, God declares them righteous, and then in their hearts they have such an assurance that now they know God and walk with Him and are blessed. This is amazing. God working in us. Oh, friends, this is the revelation that God has brought to us. Verse 32 continues this revelation to Mary from God through the angel. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Well, the revelation is to do with the infinite God. It's to do with the Son of God. It's to do with the Lord God and ruler of all. Oh, this is what Mary is told. Well, she, I imagine, could hardly take this in. But oh, it was a wonderful thing to ponder and to wonder at as the angel tells her such a thing. So as we seek salvation, it will be from the true and living God, from the Creator of all, from this wonderful Trinity that we have set out in the Bible, the person of God, the three persons of God. And it will be concerning the Son, the ruler. Oh, the ruler who we have offended, whose law we have broken. And oh, yeah, this ruler, we may be citizens of his kingdom, children of God. This is the revelation that is of grace. Oh, friends, we see here in this verse that he would be called the Son of the Highest. Friends, we may have this one dwelling in our hearts. That's amazing. Amazing that such a thing should be. And the Lord God shall give him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. What does that mean? Well, it means spiritually that the Lord Jesus Christ will rule over all his people. Every Christian believer, whether they're Jew or Gentile, those that have come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he will rule over them through his scripture. And he'll rule in their hearts, so they'll only want to do what pleases him. Well, this seems so beyond our thinking, doesn't it? That we could live for God, that we could be holy, that we could be real worshippers of God, and yet this is the revelation. This is what God has told us. This is the message, that if we come to the Saviour and know the blessing of forgiveness, we shall have salvation, and we will be those that will have the Son of the Highest dwelling in us by his Holy Spirit to live for him and for his glory. Verse 33, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom, of his kingdom, there shall be no end. This revelation comes from the God who cannot be thwarted. Here is a reign of the everlasting God, his reign in heaven and in hell. And one day we will know that no one can go against him as we stand before his bar of judgment. And those that find him, they shall know what it is to dwell with him forever and forever. Verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Well, of course, Mary wonders. She wonders about such a thing. She's slightly confused in this situation. Well, of course, here is this revelation that comes to Mary, and she can't work it all out. Of course she can't. And of course, every humble sinner that comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, even many of the words I've spoken this morning, you might find, I don't understand. I don't quite follow. Yet, friends, that's not a hindrance to us. That makes us in our hearts to cry out for God to make himself more real to us, and these things to be more plain, and that we might come and trust in him, and that we might know his blessing in our hearts. The point is, it was going to be real. It was going to happen. And even if Mary couldn't work out how it was going to happen, yet it was going to happen. Well, we think that. Every sinner that's come to the Lord Jesus Christ and sought his forgiveness and his pardon has wondered, well, how can I be changed? How can I be made a child of God? How can I become a worshipper when I've never worshipped God, never really loved him, never really cared about him? How can my life be changed when I think of all the habits I've got and all the things that I've done? Well, of course, we'll be confused and we'll be puzzled. We'll wonder how it would happen. But here is the point, friends, that the revelation from God is that his promise is that it will happen if we will come and seek him and know his blessing and his very great help. We say to ourselves, can this message be believed? I think that's what Mary is sort of saying here. How can I believe it? How can it happen? I'm confused, is what Mary is saying. And if we say the same, God will deal gently with us and he will bless us, and we can be sure it is real. This message can be believed. We can say, yes, it is for me. Mary might have thought, me? Me? Why is it me? Of all the women in Israel that she might have thought would have been blessed with such a blessing as this, now it comes down to this. Me? Me? Oh, friends, many a sinner has thought that. As they've come to salvation, have they come to trust in the Lord? And they've said, why me, Lord? Why is it you saved me? I, member of a big family, and none of my brothers or sisters saved. Why me? Why me, Lord? Why is it that you singled me out from a large family and saved me? Well, the others might be saved yet, but even so, many a believer has said, why me? Why me, Lord? Why has thou singled me out? Why was I so different? No answer to that. We can't really fathom it. But God has highly favoured us with salvation if we have come to put our trust in him. Verse 35, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. For us, the Holy Spirit will come to us and surround us. Just as surely as she surrounded Mary at that time and formed within her womb the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, God come into the world. Oh, friends, amazing, wonderful that he should do that. The Holy Spirit did it. Well, of course, as we see the impossibility of all this thing, we understand that God can do it by his Holy Spirit. He can surround us by his grace and his mercy and his teaching, and show us what we should do, and grant us faith, and grant us repentance, so that we are saved. This is the message. This is the revelation. It is wonderful that God should do such a thing. It shows us that just as surely as Mary could not form in the womb what was to happen, friends, nor can we form any salvation in our souls. But God will do it. His Holy Spirit will do it. We can be sure of that. Verse 36, she tells of cousin Elizabeth, the wife of Zechariah, who is going to bear John the Baptist. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. It was miraculous. And this was the sixth month with her, who was called barren. Well, friends, I just point to this and say to you that it's not Mary was not the only one, in a sense, that God had blessed in a very special way. And of course, we understand that this revelation has been blessed to so many others in this life. Oh, she had heard what would happen to her, Elizabeth, and Mary hears that her cousin is also to have a son in her old age, all according to the plan of God, and that John the Baptist would grow up to be the pointer to the Saviour. But the fact is that Mary wasn't the only one that received revelation from God. Oh, we have received this revelation of the gospel. We're not the only ones. We're not the first of poor sinners to hear that God will be gracious to us, that God will help us and draw us to himself. Friends, we take encouragement from that. That God has helped others and saved others, he can save us as well. There have been others far worse in life than us. Wretched sinners, great sinners, really vile sinners. And the Lord has changed them and blessed them. He can change us. He can change our lives. He can make us his own. For verse 37, with God, nothing shall be impossible. It seems impossible to us. Perhaps we know some Christians. Perhaps we know some Christians and think, I can never be as good as them. Friends, that's a wretched thought. I can never be as holy as them. I can never be as faithful as them or as zealous as them. Well, perish the thought of all that. None of us think we're any of those things at all. But the point is, you might be saying to yourself, well, how could I ever be like that? How could I ever be a Christian? God says here, nothing's impossible with him. and by his Holy Spirit, he can change our lives. We were all in that position once. We were all far from God. We were all those that had no care for these things. And we sometimes thought, how could I ever be a believer? But the Lord has done it. And in our own poor way, we've expressed our love for the Lord and our zeal for him and our trust in the gospel. He can do it for you as well. We see it here. It is not impossible for God. And so, verse 38, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Here is Mary saying, let it happen, Lord. Let it happen, Lord. Friends, this is where we get to. When we hear the revelation, when we hear the gospel's message, and we come to the Lord, and we say, Lord, let it happen. Lord, grant me repentance. Lord, grant me a great sorrow for my sin and offence toward thee. Oh Lord, come and change my life. Oh Lord, come, enable me to believe in this Saviour, to trust in him and what he did upon that cross in the place of guilty sinners like me. Oh Lord, help me to yield up my life to thee, to be thine from now on. Let it be, Lord. This is all I promise. This is all the revelation. This is all what the Bible tells me. This is what the gospel message is, that my life can be changed, that I can be thine. After all that I've been in the past, all I've thought, all I've done, now I can be thine. Lord, let it be. Lord, may it be so. Oh Lord, come. Come and change my life. Grant to me this salvation. Come submitting ourselves to God, yielding our lives to him, receiving that salvation that he has brought through his life and through his death on the cross. Oh friends, what you have of this revelation, what you've begun to put into your mind and heart, what you begin to throw together, as it were, and put together, and it begins to make sense, and you begin to understand it, and you begin to see its great necessity in your life. Now you begin to say, Lord, let it be. Come and save me. Though it seems impossible to me, though it seems impossible that I should ever be a sincere child of God, come and do it for my soul. Come and bless me in this way. Oh, friends, salvation is spectacular. It's spectacular, like this great message that Mary had at her time. Oh, of course, it was specific for her. It was very different. She was already a believer, we understand. And oh, friends. Friends, you see how this message was brought to her by the angel, by a messenger, a heavenly message. Well, our message is in the Bible, the gospel message, the good news that God would bring to us. But it's spectacular for each of us. It's amazing that God should deal with us in grace. We deserve nothing at all. Here, it was spectacular. Mary bearing the Christ child, who was the Son of God. We can come and believe in this revelation that God has granted to us. But if we come to him and repent of our sin and trust in the Saviour and give ourselves completely to him, he will change us and make us his and bring us to glory. What a message. What a revelation. Believe it, friends. Trust in it with all your heart. Amen. Let's sing together hymn number 233. All my heart this night rejoices as I hear far and near sweetest angel voices. Christ is born, their choirs are singing till the air everywhere now with joy is ringing. 233.